Aaron Rodgers on the phone.
By all accounts.
From Churchill Downs. So we'll talk to him about John right now. How you doing, Darren?
We're hanging in there, Jude. Thank you for asking, pal. It's been an incredibly difficult week, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that had to be a tremendous blow, huh?
It really was. And just shocking. You know, you've known John for years, like many of us have. I mean, you know, all you had to do is, you know, you might not even have met John personally, but if you, he was just that type of person that you felt like you knew him. He was just a friend to everybody. But where I was going was John just never took vacations. You had to push him out of the office to do that, and he was taking a very rare family vacation down in Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Flew down there on Sunday, and he wasn't feeling well. Told his wife, this is Monday morning. And so much so that he mentioned that he needed to go to the hospital. They called an ambulance, and he never made it to the hospital. He died of a heart attack, and he was just 62 years old. And it's just a tremendous, tremendous loss, and a lot of pain around the racetrack at Churchill Downs, but the entire community of Louisville. You know, everybody knows John for the work that he did around the racetrack, and the way he was a ambassador for Churchill Downs, the Derby, and the entire sport. But he did tireless volunteer work around the community. You know, if you wanted John Asher to speak at your event, he probably did. He never said no to anybody, and if he did, it was because he was probably already double booked. You know, he was just that type of guy, and he just had an amazing ability to engage and connect with people. And he's going to be greatly missed.
Yeah, no question about it. I read in one of John's countless obituaries that John made you feel like you were the most important person in the world.
Yep.
And that's how he was. I mean, I thought that was such a great description, because he talked to you, not at you, you know, how a lot of people do, you know, they talk to you in passing or whatever. But when John talked to you, he was so engaging, and you know, he was actually interested in what you had to say. And that's such a unique quality. And I think that's what made him so popular with everyone.
Absolutely. And, you know, you talk about that engagement, and he was present with every conversation and always made time for anybody. One of the, you know, the outpouring of love, you know, from the, you know, we saw a bunch of, you know, media tributes, and then the social media, the flood of, you know, ways that he touched so many people, hundreds of thousands, really. But he had that way of making you feel that you had a special connection with him. And there was one, it was a gentleman that replied to something on Facebook. It was a comment to a post that really just struck home with me. It said something to the effect, and forgive me, I'm going to paraphrase, but it said something to the effect, it was very simple: I met John Asher once in a Target. He was very pleasant. What a good man. And it was just so, and can't you just see John walking into a Target? Somebody probably recognized him. He said a pleasant hello, probably told the gentleman how many days there were till Derby. And just smile, and this left an impression with this guy, you know, where he was able to conclude within one greeting of what a special man this was, the way he was able to connect with people. And he did that, Jude.
Yeah. He was old fashioned in that way. You know, now mm-hmm. people that are, you know, famous or notable, they don't have a lot of time to deal with the public or whatever, but mm-hmm. John never changed, whether he was talking to, you know, one of the biggest owners in the sport or a hot walker on the backside or,
nope.
you know, a lowly press person. He yep. was always the same and engaging and serious about, you know, what did you need? What can I do for you? And that's, you know, that is a mark of a great fellow. And it was tremendous that guy recognized it immediately.
Consistent and steady. I mean, it was like, you know, Eddie Delahousse was always that way for me, watching him ride, and never got too high and never got too low. John, though, was always really high. You know, I mean, he just had that special quality. I mean, think about, you know, we can talk about that ability to engage, but think about the traits that he had. You know, he had passion, and he was, you know, very compassionate as well. And I think what's most important is that, you know, he was very trustworthy. You know, when John said something, you believed it. And then you add with that, you know, his work ethic, the entire professionalism. And then he's chasing his dreams. You know, he grew up as a young boy in Litchfield, Kentucky, and he wanted to be on the radio. Guess what? He ended up being an award-winning journalist on radio. I mean, the guy won 7 awards as Kentucky's best radio reporter by the Associated Press. Not bad.
Yeah. And 5 Eclipse Awards.
Five Eclipse Awards. Yeah. 5 Eclipse Awards. And then he just loved being at Churchill Downs so much, and a job opportunity came about. He gave it all up. He chased his dreams to work at Churchill Downs, and he started working in 1997. So you got all those qualities, and then you've got this booming, deep, perfect broadcast voice, the personality, and then the smile. You know, he had the ability to walk into a room and just instantly command attention, and he just put, you know, he always put a smile on everybody's face. And then when you listen to John on the radio, or if you were talking to him on the telephone, he had one of those rare people that you could hear the smile on his face. I mean, mm-hmm. you could see it, you could feel it. And you know, forgive me, it's still been a very difficult week. I'm just going to miss it. So,
yeah, I think you're not alone there. And as we go through, you know, the upcoming Churchill Mead and the Breeders' Cup, I mean, you're yep. going to see him around every corner, you know.
Well, he'd be very upset, Jude, if I did not mention that there are 245 days until Kentucky Derby 145, and the early forecast is sunny and 75. You know, that was his trademark.
Yep.
That yeah. was his trademark.
Yeah, he loved the Kentucky Derby probably more than anybody that I ever knew, and he was kind of an encyclopedia about it.
The knowledge. Not only could he tell you, you know, he would have an anecdote, a little anecdote about every derby. Yeah. Every derby. I mean, if you just brought it up, he'll tell you something. He had his Rolodex of stories, you know, that he would pull into. And he'd forget if he told it to you 4 or 5 times. But every time he told it to you, it was like as if he told it to you for the first time you ever heard it. And you still were amazed.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know, we talk about all the professionalism, and you know, he worked all those tireless hours, and you know, spent. You know, he was the first car in, last car out at Churchill. You know, basically lived there. But John was a. I want John to be remembered for being a. He was a tremendous family man, and he just absolutely glowed. That gleam in his eye, I could see it when he spoke of, you know, his wife, Dee, and of course telling you all about his daughters, Heather, Aaron, and Emma. And then, you know, he has 2 grandkids, Caden and Cameron. And Caden was born in 2013, a couple of days after Shug McGahee trained Orb won the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, John idolized all horsemen, but I know he had a special respect, and he loved Shug McGahee. And little Caden is, you know, he's been forever known to us since he's been born as Little Shug.
Yeah.
And but John was a family man, and just a, you know, I think if every one of us could take a little bit of John, he's irreplaceable. And every one of us at the Downs, everyone in the racing community, you know, anybody listening today, take a look at that man and those qualities. And if we can just take a little bit and be a little bit better and a little bit more like John Asher, we'll all be better off.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, he was somebody to look up to and certainly emulate. And it's just a huge blow to the racing community.
Yeah.
It's been great to see everybody rally around that. And,
it's helped. You know. It's helped. That outpouring of love, like I said, has just been, if you were building a Mount Rushmore at Churchill Downs, you know, from figures, you can obviously, you know, you can include horsemen or whatever, but if you just talk about important people in Churchill Downs history, you know, you think of Matt, the Colonel Matt Wynn, the former executive and president of Churchill Downs in the early 1900s, that, you know, really was responsible for growing the Derby into the spectacle it is today. The second man that comes to mind is John Asher. John Asher.
Yeah.
I mean, the impact. Like, you know, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but you were talking about just that outpouring of love. I've never seen anything like it. And I tell you what, all the kind notes and the people that have reached out, you know, and all those posts, it really helps. You know, like I said, it's going to be incredibly difficult for a while. And if his visitation is on Tuesday, and we'll be at Churchill Downs in the Jockey Club Suites Triple Crown Room from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. And if I could, I'd like to tell you about, because I know it'll, and I hope I don't break up telling you, because it's an incredibly special honor that I know John would love when his body arrives in the hearse at 9 a.m. on Tuesday to the facility. He's going to come through the barn area. They are going to take a break during training. And, excuse me, he's going to take a lap, mile and a quarter, on the racetrack one last time. And I know it's just going to be an incredibly powerful moment and something I know John would love.
Absolutely. You know?
But he's going to get a chance to go a mile and a quarter on that racetrack himself.
That's
and,
pretty cool.
Yeah, it's going to be powerful, and it's going to be a great day to see a bunch of friends. And then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday at 2 o'clock is the funeral. Well, I'm telling you, the place seats 650 people. it's
not big enough.
Churchill Downs is not big enough. I mean, let's face it. If you want to pay respect to the family and be surrounded by a bunch of great colleagues and friends, and even if you are a fan, the visitation is Tuesday at the track from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m.
All right. Well, that's going to be a great tribute to him, and we appreciate him, and we appreciate you and all the things that you do. Best of luck with the rest of the week, and know that we're thinking about you.
Well, thank you very much. And it was an honor. It's always an honor to talk about John Asher. So have a great morning. And John will want everybody out there to bet a couple bucks on some races, so cash the tickets today.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Darren.